Hello, this is Mary, and I'll be reading selections from the Decatur Herald and Review from Monday, July 7th, 2025. From the front page of the paper, Mid-Century on the Prairie, Illinois, home to Frank Lloyd Wright's only known farmhouse, by Crystal Reed, Hampshire. The Muirhead Farmhouse, northwest of Chicago, has the unique designation of being the only known farmhouse designed and built by Frank Lloyd Wright during his lifetime. He was 83 years old when he designed the Muirhead Farmhouse near Hampshire in 1950. According to Sarah Muirhead Petersdorf, granddaughter of Robert and Elizabeth Muirhead, the home is an example of Wright's Usonian type of architecture and is referred to as an inline Usonian. In 2004, Sarah Muirhead Petersdorf and Mike Petersdorf moved their family from Minnesota back to Illinois and opened the home for tours and as a bread and breakfast. The farmhouse has been recognized by Kane County and the state of Illinois and is listed on the National Register of Historic Places. The original farmhouse was built in the mid-1800s and was the first in the area to be retrofitted with running water and electricity. However, it was ill-suited to a family of seven. Robert and Elizabeth Muirhead had five children. Robert was educated as a mechanical engineer, but took up farming due to low job opportunities in the Depression era. Muirhead Petersdorf said her grandfather took a big risk farming hybrid oats and used the money from those crops to finance a new house. He checked with local architects unsuccessfully before seeking out Wright. Some of the wish list items for the new house included stone or brick construction, incorporating cypress or redwood, five bedrooms, and small bathrooms that would be easy to clean and heat. Muirhead Petersdorf said Mrs. Muirhead's original request for kitchen space included lots of light and air and to be able to see the children playing outside. She also asked for cupboards from floor to ceiling, lots of work table space, and a ventilation fan over the stove. Original pieces include the kitchen sink and ventilation hood and fan, as well as the Amana freezer. Petersdorf said the dining room was used to feed the family as well as farmhands and visitors. Seating capacity was requested to be at minimum 12 people. Furniture designed for the dining room included movable seats along the back wall and four 36-inch square tables. However, only one of the movable seats was constructed. It was not well liked. Bench seating was built instead. The living room included storage space for records and a place for a permanently mounted movie screen. In the bedroom wing, each bedroom featured a closet, twin bed, and shelves. The budget for the 3,200-square-foot home was $24,000, plus architect fees. Petersdorf said the original letter was mailed to Wright in October 1948, but the realization of the dream house came slowly. Blueprints were not dated until February 1950, and construction did not start until spring 1951 and lasted until 1953. At Wright's request, Muirhead Petersdorf said the budget was increased to $50,000. The final cost is believed to have been between $50,000 and $55,000. Some of the construction and materials involved included Chicago common brick, red tidewater cypress wood, concrete flooring with radiant heat, and a flat roof with parapet. Muirhead Petersdorf said Robert and Elizabeth's grandson, Charles, bought the home in 1985 and continued the farm operation. In 2001, Charles passed away, leaving the home semi-vacant for around a year. In 2002, the family sold 532 acres of the farmland to the Kane County Forest Preserve. Petersdorf said in 2003, an extensive renovation of the home was started. Over the course of time, the concrete floor in the bedroom wing sank. The floor was broken out and replaced during the renovation. With the intention of opening the home as a bed and breakfast, two of the original bedroom spaces were converted to bathrooms, and the remaining bedrooms enlarged. The house now has 4 bedrooms and 4 bathrooms, as opposed to the original design of 6 bedrooms and 2 bathrooms. The yard and outdoor spaces, the brick wall and fountain outside the living room was rebuilt in 2004. The square featuring the fountain originally held flowering plants, but was replaced with water to accommodate Wright's desire for a water feature. The stone wall lining the drive consists of rocks that formed the foundation of the original 1860 farmhouse. The home is open for tours on select dates from May through October. More information is at muirheadfarmhouse.com. From page 2, July 4th blazes keep firefighters busy, by Tony Reed. Decatur. Firefighters were kept busy dealing with multiple July 4th late-night blazes, and they say it's possible at least 2 of the fires were sparked by fireworks. A news release from Deputy Decatur Police Chief, or Fire Chief, Brian Lockwood, said the first call sent crews to South Illinois Street at 11 p.m., where they found a shed fully involved in fire. Lockwood said that was quickly put out with the assistance of several engine companies. During operations at this fire, another fire involving a house was reported at approximately 11:30 p.m. on North 34th Street, the deputy chief added. Responding companies found advanced fire conditions with a large amount of the floor collapsed into the basement. It took crews around 3 hours to completely extinguish the fires in the structure. The house was vacant at the time of the fire, but was undergoing renovations. Lockwood said both blazes remained under investigation, with fireworks remaining one suspected cause. He also reported that throughout the night, fire crews were called out to respond to several small rubbish, dumpster, and garbage fires. Lockwood said one of those damaged the exterior wall of an occupied house. From page 4, Flash Floods Top Storm-Related Deaths, by John O'Connor, Associated Press. The monstrous, swift-moving flood that swept through the hill country of Texas on Friday, killing at least 78 people and leaving many more missing, was a flash flood, the nation's top storm-related killer. Among those still missing are girls attending a summer camp. Authorities said about 850 people had been rescued, including some by helicopter. Here are some facts about flash floods. Flash floods form rapidly. According to the National Weather Service, a flash flood is flooding that begins within 6 hours, and often in as little as 3 hours, of heavy rainfall. Waters rise so quickly that people are caught off guard, according to the Weather Service. Many people run into trouble while traveling. If at home or work, the water can rise so quickly that people are trapped before they have time to think about escape. That is just what happened to residents along the Guadalupe River in Kerr County and the surrounding area after at least 10 inches poured from the sky early Friday morning. Fast-moving waters along the river rose 26 feet in just 45 minutes before dawn Friday, washing away homes and vehicles. The danger was not over, as more heavy rains were expected Saturday, and flash flood warnings and flood watches remained in effect for parts of central Texas through Sunday. There was some advance notice in Texas. On Thursday afternoon, the National Weather Service issued a flood watch, estimating rising water of up to 7 inches in spots. A watch means conditions are favorable for a flood, and people should be prepared, but hazardous conditions might not develop. But the watch was upgraded to a flood warning overnight, a notice that impacted 30,000 people. A warning is issued when flooding is imminent or occurring, the Weather Service said. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick said the potential for heavy rain and flooding covered a large area, and everything was done to give them a heads up so that you could have heavy rain. However, when asked about how people were notified in Kerr County so that they could get to safety, Judge Rob Kelly, the county's chief elected official, said, "We do not have a warning system." When reporters pushed on why more precautions weren't taken, Kelly responded, "Rest assured, no one knew this kind of flood was coming." Flash floods can be deadly. Last year, 145 people died in flash floods, according to the Weather Service. On average, over the past 30 years, floods have claimed 127 lives annually. Floods trap people in vehicles. Nearly half of all flood-related fatalities involve vehicles. Flood deaths affect all age groups. Many people don't realize that a car becomes difficult to control in just 6 inches of water and can be swept away in as little as 18 inches. So instead of finding a detour, too often people try to drive through water at underpasses or other low-lying areas. Flash floods can happen anywhere. It can happen anywhere, according to the Weather Service, which says that the normally tranquil streams and creeks in your neighborhood can become raging torrents if heavy rain falls overhead. An area can be flooded even without rain if it's downstream of a torrential rainstorm and a swollen stream heads its way. Hurricanes, tropical storms, non-cyclonic weather systems carrying heavy rain, and dam failures are some weather events that can cause flash flooding. They can happen in rural areas or in large cities. From page 6, National and World News, The Digest. Ukraine drones disrupt airplane travel in Russia. Russia and Ukraine struck each other with hundreds of drones on Sunday, throwing Russian air travel in disarray shortly after Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky announced deals with Western partners that would allow Kyiv to scale up drone production. Photos circulating on social media showed crowds huddling at Russian airports, including key international hubs in Moscow and St. Petersburg, as hundreds of flights were delayed or canceled due to Ukrainian drone strikes on Saturday and overnight, according to Russia's transport ministry. The flight disruptions hit Moscow's Sheremetyevo and St. Petersburg's main Pulkovo airports. Other airports in western and central Russia also faced disruptions. Methane deaths. 5 Turkish soldiers died Sunday after exposure to methane gas while searching a cave in northern Iraq for the remains of a fellow soldier killed by Kurdish militants in 2022, the Turkish Defense Ministry said. EU-China trade. China said Sunday that European medical device companies will be barred from selling to the Chinese government as a countermeasure for the European Union's restrictions on the sale of similar products from China. Papal vacation. Pope Leo XIV arrived Sunday in the papal summer retreat of Castel Gandolfo to start a 6-week vacation, giving the hilltop town back its most illustrious resident after Pope Francis stayed away during his 12-year pontificate. Arson attack. Angelo Loris, 34, was charged Sunday over an arson attack on a Melbourne synagogue in an apparent escalation of anti-Semitic violence in Australia's second most populous city. Pet lion. The owners of a pet lion that escaped from a farmhouse and injured a woman and 2 children were arrested in the eastern Pakistani city of Lahore authorities said Sunday, after video footage surfaced showing the lion leaping over a wall before attacking the victims. Seething over tax bill, Musk forms his own party. Elon Musk said he's carrying out his threat to form a new political party after his fissure with President Donald Trump, announcing the America Party in response to the president's sweeping tax cuts law. Musk, once an ever-present ally to Trump, as he headed off the slashing agency known as the Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, broke with the Republican president over his signature legislation, which was signed into law Friday. As the bill made its way through Congress, Musk threatened to form the America Party if this insane spending bill passes. When it comes to bankrupting our country with waste and graft, we live in a one-party system, not a democracy, Musk said Saturday. Today, the America Party is formed to give you back your freedom. The formation of new political parties is not uncommon, but they typically struggle to pull significant support away from the Republican and Democratic parties. But Musk, the world's richest man, who spent at least $250 million supporting Trump in the 2024 election, could impact the 2026 elections, determining control of Congress, if he is willing to spend big amounts of money. His reignited feud with the president could also be costly for Musk, whose businesses rely on billions of dollars in government contracts, and publicly traded company Tesla has taken a hit in the market. It wasn't clear whether Musk had taken steps to formally create the new political party. Returning to the front page, small business, to market. Local markets sell food as well as jewelry, candles, soaps, and more. By Danette Beckett. Decatur. It's not your grandma's farmer's markets. Fruits and veggies are just a few of the products found at the farmer's market in central Illinois. Vendors at downtown Decatur's Central Park Saturday morning markets also include artisans selling items such as baked goods, jewelry, candles, soap, and artwork. 3-year-old Sloane Shively brought her mother, Melissa Shively, and grandma, Connie Shively, to the farmer's market on Saturday to get a new bracelet. "I came for the fresh vegetables," Melissa said. "I didn't know all this other stuff was here." Connie Shively brought her granddaughter to the farmer's market for the first time a week ago. "We wanted to see what different things pop up," she said about their return. Lori Dillman, owner of Stained Soul Studio, sized the bracelet for Sloane's wrist. She said the farmer's market had been profitable for her jewelry business. "I cancel a lot of my all-day appointments just to come here," Dillman said. Catherine Sterling was at the recent farmer's market, ready to sell processed rabbit. "People who have had it are very much in favor of it," she said. "The people who are not in favor of it are the people who don't like the thought of eating bunnies." According to Sterling, the Sterling Family Farms in La Place is the only local company selling rabbit as food. "This means a restaurant can buy it and serve it, a grocery store or meat market sell it," she said. "There's almost no fat in rabbits at all, but you can use it in almost any chicken recipe." Although Buds and Blooms is filled with seasonal vegetables and fruits, Carla Vercellino knows the customers aren't visiting Central Park just for her products. "There's fresh eggs, fresh-cut flowers, jewelry," she said. For nearly 5 years, the artisan factor has become more popular at farmers markets, according to Vercellino. Buds and Blooms added canned preserves and flowers to their tables as well. However, customers still visit for the fresh produce. "I have to say, the tomatoes are the most popular," she said. Body butters and scrubs were available at the Blissful Body Haven table, located under a tree in Central Park. Farmers' markets are the ideal places to sell these types of products, according to owner Jamie Howell. "I've been getting a good turnout," she said. Blissful Body products are found at other farmers' markets, including the Richland Community College Market, on Monday evenings. "The immediate responses have been beneficial," Hall said. "You get to see them and talk to them," she said about her customers. "It's better than ordering online." Several candles at Simply Gingy are fruit-scented, such as coconut mango, heavenly honeydew, and watermelon lemonade. "And I have a hickory smoked barbecue one," said Kaylee Humphreys. As the owner of the company, Humphrey said farmers markets are the perfect place to sell her products. "I wouldn't do it any other way," she said. "Connecting with the customers and the communities helps the business. I love all the other vendors and seeing what they are able to create," Humphrey said. "It's just a positive space. Everyone's welcome." Another appeal is that the products are made and grown locally. If a customer is unsure, the producer is available to ask questions. "You get the small town feel," Ashley Maris said. "They are just made in town." While Maris is selling homemade wax melts and herbal bath soaps, she promotes her career as a supportive birthing professional called a birth doula. "This is a way of getting more connections in the community," she said, "because not everybody knows what a birth doula is." Maris said she has had positive responses from visitors. "I've had a few connections from the market," she said. And here is a list of farmers markets to shop in Macon County. That's Decatur Central Park Farmers Market, 8 a.m. to noon on Saturdays in downtown Decatur. Good Samaritan Inn's Mercy Market, 8 a.m. to noon on Saturdays at Preston Jackson Park, 337 North Water Street in Decatur. The Richland Student Farm, 4 to 6 p.m. on Mondays at Michael D. Andreas Agriculture Building at Richland Community College, Decatur. K.C. Fine's Farmers Market, 4 to 7 p.m. on Tuesdays at 2809 North Main Street in Decatur. Coles County, Lytle Park Farmers Market, 8 a.m. to noon on Fridays at the park's entrance at Cedar Avenue and 32nd Street, Mattoon. Warren James Winery Farmers Market, 5 to 8:30 p.m. on Fridays at the winery, 5600 Lerner Road in Mattoon. Charleston Area Chamber of Commerce Farmers Market, 7:30 to 10:30 a.m. on Saturdays on the Courthouse Square, Charleston. Charleston's Farmers Market on the Square, 7 to 10 a.m. on Wednesdays at the Courthouse Square in Charleston. And the Mattoon Midweek Farmers Market, 3 to 6 p.m. on Wednesdays at the 2000 block of Western Avenue in downtown Mattoon. From page 15 of the paper, Senior Health, Summer and Your Lungs. Hot weather can make breathing more difficult for those with respiratory problems, by Heidi Goodman, Harvard Health. For people with lung problems such as asthma or chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD, seasonal weather effects are well known to stir up symptoms. Autumn hazards include mold and pollen. Winter brings cold, dry air, and spring showers us with pollen or fine particulate matter, such as wildfire smoke. Summer also has breathing risks, although many people are less familiar with them. Breathing hot air. One of the chief contributors to summertime symptom flares is hot air, made worse if it's also humid, breezeless, or very dry. It can feel suffocating, and indeed it can make the airways narrow and restrict breathing. Doctors have several theories about why this happens. Irritated nerves. Breathing hot air might make nerves in the lungs twitch, causing spasms, inflammation, and constricted airways. widened blood vessels. Breathing hot air might make your body think it needs to cool the lungs. It does that by widening nearby blood vessels so they can carry more blood and heat away from the lungs. As the vessels get bigger, surrounding tissues can swell. Faster breathing. When you're overheated, your body cools off by sweating and also by releasing heat through the breath. That is why we breathe faster when it's hot. But if you have lung disease, it can be hard to get air out of your lungs, leaving little room to get fresh air back into them. Fast breathing makes that worse. Additional risks. Climate change has worsened weather conditions that affect the lungs. We're seeing higher temperatures and more hot, humid days, even in months that are normally cool. Pollen season is starting earlier and lasting longer, which is a problem for people with asthma and allergies. Other aspects of climate change that can irritate the lungs include increased levels of ozone, an air pollutant that forms in the presence of heat, increased levels of fine particulate matter in the air from more frequent wildfires, which can worsen COPD and asthma symptoms, more frequent intense dust storms, more frequent intense rainstorms, hurricanes, and floodings, leading to more mold in the air, a problem for people with asthma. What you can do. If you have a lung condition and you're experiencing or worried about more wheezing, chest tightness, shortness of breath, or coughing, ramp up your defenses. Keep your inhaler handy. If your doctor has prescribed one or more inhaled medication for your lung condition, keep them with you at all times, even if you have mild lung disease. 2. Pay attention to transitions. Going from cool outdoor air to a blast of humid outdoor air, or vice versa, can cause this sudden breathing difficulty. To avoid this, take a puff of your inhaler 15 to 30 minutes before the transition from cool to hot. Stay in air-conditioned spaces. If you have air conditionings, stay inside during the hottest part of the day and schedule outings for the morning or evening if possible. Get a HEPA filter to reduce pollutants in the air. If you don't have air conditioning, spend the hottest part of the day in a place that does, such as a public cooling center, library, community center, or shopping mall. Use a fan. Consider using an electric fan or handheld rechargeable fan. Take the portable version wherever you go. Dress appropriately. Lightweight, loose-fitting garments allow air to get to your skin, promoting heat loss to keep you cool when you sweat. Include a hat when you go outside. Also consider wearing clothes with cooling technology. Stay hydrated. Drink lots of fluids and eat watery foods such as watermelon or soup to maintain hydration, which keeps your body working and thins mucus buildup in the lungs. If your drinks and foods are nice and cold, they help lower your body's core temperature too. Take a cool shower or a bath. If you're overheated, immerse yourself in water that's cooler than your body temperature. Once out of the water, stand in front of a fan. If you can't take a shower or bath, submerge your hands, forearms, and elbows in cold water for up to 5 minutes to send cooled blood moving through your blood vessels back to your core, including your lungs. Finally, consider an alert button. When breathing becomes difficult, a wearable emergency button can get you help in a hurry, whether it's calling 911 or contacting someone in another room. Ask a friend or neighbor to check on you periodically, especially during heat waves. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review from Monday, July 7th, 2025. Please stay tuned.
Denmark launched its presidency of the European Union on Thursday with a call for Europe to unite to take on war in Ukraine and chaos caused by U.S. President Donald Trump's global tariffs. I'm going to take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review shortly. Please stay tuned.